Well, today is a special day in many ways. Today we remember and we celebrate the truth and the fact that as a local body of believers, we have been meeting here in this place for some 60 years, in this area. Maybe not necessarily in this location, but in this community. And for the entirety of that time, for some six decades, for twice the length of my life, brothers and sisters in Christ, like you and I, have been gathering in this community and doing the most significant thing in all the world. They have been worshiping the King of Kings. They have been lifting up and making much of Jesus Christ. They have been proclaiming the truth of God in this place and in their lives. Folks, there is nothing more important. There is nothing more central than offering worship to the only one who deserves it. Would you agree? There's nothing higher than that. And that's been happening here for a long, long time. And for that, we praise the Lord. And so today, it is good and it is proper for us to realize that we are part of a heritage that goes back 60 years in this place with this church. And more importantly, we are part of a much larger legacy that reaches back some 20 centuries to the first followers of our beautiful Savior who gathered for the same reasons that we do today, who gathered and worshiped God for the same reasons that people of this church have since 1950. And so we do well to remember that when we get together each week, we are part of a much bigger picture. We are participating in a much grander story than just who we are. We are a piece of the puzzle, and that ought to humble us. It ought to bring us to awe. It ought to cause us to praise our God. So in some ways, this day is special. It is unique because it is the 60th anniversary of this church. But in other ways, this Sunday is no more glorious than every other Sunday when we get to gather together and worship Jesus Christ. They are all amazing. Every day is a day the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice in it, and we ought to rejoice in Him. Every time we gather, every time we assemble as a people, every time we worshiped as the redeemed under the name and the blood and the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it is glorious. It is pleasing to our Father. It is the height of who we are and of what we do as human beings. You know, I have thought a lot about what to say on this day for this celebration. 60 years is significant. There's a lot that has come and gone, a lot that has taken place in that time, much that has been accomplished for the kingdom and for the name of Christ. Many who have contributed and who have sacrificed greatly. Some, as you have seen, who sit here in this room this morning, who have been here since the very beginning of the story of this church. How awesome it is to hear Pete say, it was a business meeting, they said, you, go start a church, and we're part of that. That's unbelievable. Nellie Gilliam is in the room, and she hasn't been here in a while, and I think she's right back there, and if you have been to this church for any amount of time at all, then she probably changed your diaper, all right? And she's here today, and Nellie, we love you, and we appreciate you. Frida Case is here today, and it's good to see Frida with us, and Frida is a longtime and faithful member here. There are people here that we ought to honor and respect. Now, I've only been here for the last 6 years, kind of small in comparison, and so I'm not sure that I would be best equipped to tell that account in its fullness and to do it justice. I thought about trying to be inspirational and motivational and give you a rah-rah speech, but that's not me. I'm not a beat-the-drum kind of guy, and so I decided against that as well. Instead, I thought that it would be best to hear from someone who has been here the whole time, who has been present since the beginning of this church, someone who knows the story, who knows where we've been, and might have an idea of where we need to go. I thought it would be best for us simply to spend some time today as a church family, just listening to what God has to say about us, about His people, about His kingdom, about His church, about His bride. Does it bring you to tears that He calls us His bride? I speak of my bride with great affection, great passion. Do anything for her. Jesus speaks of us as his bride. We're going to take a few moments and very purposefully seek to remember all that he has done, all that he has provided. I want us to be reminded of his purposes and of our calling, to recall his work and our proper response to what he has already done. So today is going to be just a little bit different. I'm about done. All I'm going to do from here on out is just read some passages of Scripture. And some of you might say, yes, why don't you do that more often? Today is going to be a little bit different. We're going to hear from God, though. Today, we're going to have the opportunity as the people of God to hear from the Word of God and have His truth help us to remember. So there are going to be different folks that are going to come forward in the following moments and just read passages of Scripture to us. And I would challenge you, I would challenge myself, I would challenge us to listen and to engage. Don't phase out just because the format is a little bit different. God's Word is going to be read. His truth is going to be spoken. And I want us to consider again the enormity of the gift that we have in His revelation. All right, His heart is revealed. We do not deserve this. He gives it to us because He is good and gracious and He wants us to know Him more. And so we ought not to take this lightly. So today, as we seek to remember, may we have ears to hear as a people. Ears to hear what He has to say to us. Father, we love You. We praise You. We honor You today. Today is not about us. It is about You. It is about Your work and Your kingdom and Your Son and Your purpose. It is about Your glory and Your honor. Not about us. May we decrease as we ask every week. And may You increase in this place. And we ask it in Your name. This morning, as we gather together as the body of Christ, we ought to remember that we are a people. Listen to what the Lord has to say to us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Sandra?
Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.
We are a people called from eternity past. We are part of the body of Jesus Christ. But also, as a people, we ought to remember that we are of the gospel. Zita?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
We are not ashamed of the gospel, and so, as Paul says in Galatians, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. We are a people of God, bought by the gospel. It informs everything we do. It challenges us. It moves us. It drives us. It inspires us. It lifts us up. The gospel is the beginning and the end of who we are. As a people of God, as part of the gospel, we also remember that we are redeemed. Ryan?
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit.
Amen. The righteous requirements of the law met in us, even though we are sinners. Listen to this passage, Romans 5, 1 through 11. It's a little long, but just I hope you catch a bit of the majesty of what Christ has done for us. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We were not a people, now we are. We were enemies, now we were friends. We were distant, and now we have been brought near. We are a people. We are of the gospel. We have been redeemed. We also remember that because of these things, it gives us great reason for joy. Sandra Ball, where are you at?
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Amen. So we have life to the full. We have joy. Not our joy, but Christ's joy. And listen why we have that. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Think of that. What is Christ doing now? He's not waiting to come back. He is praying for you and I. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, the present or the future, any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have reason, folks, to have hope. We are a people. We are of the gospel. We are redeemed. We have hope. We have purpose. We have joy. That also means that we have a very high calling, a responsibility. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. We have a responsibility. Bill?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
A high calling, a responsibility. We are redeemed. We are of the gospel. We have a hope. But that's not just for today. We also have a future. We need to remember that as the people of God. Shirley?
Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God."
The true words of God. One day we will see him, not through a veil dimly, not from a distance. We will see him face to face, and it will look like this. Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Folks, we have a future. It is sure. It is certain. It will one day come. And at the very end, after all these things, never forget the most important thing. We have a Savior. Christian?
Therefore, since we have the promise... I'm sorry, that's the wrong verse. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help us in our time of need.
We don't need a man. We don't need an institution to be a mediator for us. We have Jesus Christ. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that we as the church will not grow weary and lose heart." And then finally, from Romans chapter 3, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. How sweet it is just to hear his heart. How much we have to remember and to hold on to. And so as we draw to a close, I would just invite us today to reflect on what has just taken place in our midst. We have had the opportunity to hear God's word, to hear his heart spoken to us by his children. Not by somebody high and mighty, not by some dignitary, not by a priest, but by one of us. To receive God's truth from the lips of those who know and who love him. And I want you to notice who we are this morning. I hope you saw it represented in those that came forward. We are young and we are old and everywhere in between. Some have money and some don't. Some have been a Baptist their whole lives and some are new to this church. Some have been a part of this church since the beginning and some are new in the last year. We have male and female. We have married and single. But I want you to see that everyone who came forward this morning, just like the rest of us in here today, we are not simply individuals. We are part of a body. We are part of a people. We are part of a community under the head and the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are of the gospel. We are redeemed. We have a reason for joy. We have a high calling and a responsibility. We have a future. And we have a Savior, and we need to remember those things. And so it is good for us to remember, because God is good. And he has entrusted us with so much. He has given us so much. His graciousness and his kindness are what draw us to repentance. And so again, I cannot say it enough, today is not about us. Today is about him. This church is about him. Who we are is about him, and may it always be that way. God has been faithful, and he has been good to this body of believers for 60 years. And if he chooses in his will, in his sovereignty, to tarry for another 60 years, and at that time there are still brothers and sisters in Christ like us meeting in this place, calling themselves Kennewick Baptist Church, then God will still be loving, and he will still be good, and he will still be faithful, and he will still be just, and true, and righteous, and holy, and gracious, and merciful, and eternally worthy of every bit of worship that we can wring out of our sinful souls. He deserves it, Lord. He deserves it. And I pray that we see that as a people. I pray that you have been reminded of that today as we have just heard the Word of God spoken to us. He is the only one in all of creation that deserves anything we can offer. And may the Word of God remind us of that today. That's who we are as a people, folks. We're not a building, we're not a location, we're not a plot of land, we're not a name, we're not a sign, we're not a website, we're not a bulletin. We are a people under Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. And there is nothing more than that. Father, thank you for this time. As we prepare to sing just one more song, as we worship you, Father, may you be glorified. May you be lifted up. May your people realize that you are the God of wonders, that you are Lord of all creation, that everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we do, everything we hope for revolves around you. It is founded on you. You are the center. You are the cornerstone. Lord, remind us of that today. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen.